Lori Houston's News for the Heart is dedicated to helping you give a voice to your own soul. Our hearts have the power to free us from pain and the struggles that keep us from awakening to our true essence. Join Lori now as we delve into our heart and soul to find the path that will open us to the possibilities and lead us to the life we love to live.
And good afternoon. This is News for the Heart. And this is the new year. So we are now officially in 2020. Oof. What are they saying? 2020 vision? Yeah. Well, let's hope, right? Okay. Yeah. And we have our awesome astrologer and tarot reader, Tara Green. And we do this every year. So let's hear about 2020 because it should be interesting.
Absolutely.
It might be a little bit challenging, but let's right. deal with, well, it'll be interesting.
It always is. And I mean, we're already a few days in here. So, you know, 2020 vision, you know, it's hindsight is 2020. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like we're here now, but you have to pretend. What I kept thinking is, you know, kind of because it's a new decade, think about, I've got something in my eye. All of a sudden, think about where you're going to be 10 years from now and look back, right?
Right.
Okay. So 2020, numerologically, I always go for that. But when you look at the symbols, 2020 in the tarot is the symbol number 4, which in this tarot deck is called the king or the emperor, generally. Right. And this is the Thoth tarot. So you can see that my old, well-worn deck. So the number 4, and actually sitting in a number 4 pattern, actually, it's related to the sign of Aries. So that gives us a sign that this is a new beginning as well. And it's very masculine, fiery, initiating energy. And it's always about power. So the number 4, for me, always reminds us that you have to use the 4 elements.
Right.
So in the West, that's good. We use 4 elements, not 5. And our bodies, of course, are made up of fire, air, earth, water, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. But the number 22 is also a master number,
yes,
of course. So the number 22 in the tarot is this one here called the Fool. Okay, so the Fool, I know it says 0, 0 and 22 are equivalent in the tarot. So the Fool is the wise one. The Fool, I know, don't laugh. We have to be fools this year. But the Fool is the wise one. It's the symbol of enlightenment, about living fully in the moment. It's about taking a risk. I mean, this is a non-traditional kind of Fool. The Rider Waite Smith deck, you know, where the Fool is always a young boy who's ready to step off the cliff with a little dog at his heels. You know, it's always about the soul. So the number 22 is about the soul. It's the master builder number. So you have to be living fully in the moment. So
right.
Not worried about whatever's going on in the news or whatever's real news, fake news, whatever. Living fully in the present. And that's where you get to be enlightened, not worrying about the past or the future.
Right.
So don't hit the panic button. So the Fool, you know, it's like everything is possible.
Right.
So we really like that.
You know, I do
Fool's
too.
Fool's wisdom, it's innocence, it's trust. It's, you know, I'm ready to jump off the cliff, you know, because I'm an old soul. I've been around the block a million times. So what have I got to worry about, you know? That's what
right.
I always think about it, right? So it's a very big year. Actually, we're starting into the eclipse season of 2020, and there'll be a big lunar eclipse in Cancer on January the 10th. That's this Friday. So this weekend coming up is probably one of the biggest weekends in a very long time.
Okay.
Because of that eclipse, because the planet Uranus, which is the planet of revolution, of freedom, of liberation, it rules the sign of Aquarius, also turns direct.
Right.
After being, sorry, I'm a bit sniffly all of a sudden. After being.
Did you get a cat hair?
I must have gotten something in my eye. I think that's what it is. We were talking about cat hairs. So Uranus will turn direct after being retrograde since August. And then the big alignment of Saturn and Pluto,
right.
Plus it's a big Capricornucopia, that's what I call it right now. You know, all of the planets lined up in Capricorn. And, you know, some people are saying to have all those planets in Capricorn and Uranus and Taurus, one of the astrologers said it hasn't happened in 3,800 years.
Whoa.
Which is like going way back.
Whoa.
But anyway, it's very intense. It's very heavy. I mean, you know, recently in the news, you know, the whole thing with Iran, and a lot of people are going, oh my God, World War III, excuse me, which is one of the predictions that astrologers, because it is heavy and intense, and it's about power and control. And, you know, Pluto always destroys.
Right.
You know, Pluto always destroys the old structures. So, I mean, every planetary aspect has a positive and negative. I know people want the positive news, but you have to always be mindful of the heavy stuff. And it's heavy. Yeah. You can't sugarcoat it. But it can be used for good. You know, Saturn's restrictions and limitations and obstacles. It's the end of the patriarchy. That's my most positive takeaway from Saturn, Pluto. And for, you know, if you're walking your soul's path, you know, Pluto is wealth. You know, Pluto is the soul. Okay. It's the unconscious. It's the psyche. So if you're walking, you get power.
Okay.
You know, and so it's like how you use it. You're going to be tested. That's Saturn, right? So it's maturing. You know, this aspect happens, you know, every 36 years. So for everybody who was born in 82, 83, for them, it's kind of the heaviest. So if you're born in that age group, that's intense. All right. So there's also, it's a good year. It's Capricorn's big year this year.
Right.
Planet Jupiter's in Capricorn. There's going to be three conjunctions of Jupiter with Pluto, which is like the billionaire's transit.
Oh,
so for a lot of people,
big money that's coming.
Yeah, so you want to look at where Capricorn is. You know, all the planets, like I said, are lined up in Capricorn right now. Okay. And there's also the best times to move ahead. There are times when there are no planets moving retrograde. And so you want to mark these on your calendar. So there's two little windows here, and one is from January the 10th to February the 16th. Okay. And then March the 16th to June the 20th. Let's see if I got this right here. June the 25th. March 16th to April 25th. So you want to mark those dates. January 10th, February 16th, March 9th, April 25th. Those are the best times to move ahead. No impediments. Everything is like, you know, put your foot to the gas. There.
Except we have an eclipse.
Well, we have six eclipses this year. Okay. Right. Only one is total. And that's at the end of the year.
Oh, okay. Does that make a huge difference?
Well, it does, technically. Okay. Like even the one on Friday, it's called a penumbral. So when it's not total... You know, the total eclipses are the most intense. So it has an effect.
We had a total solar, though, right?
Right. In December. Okay.
Right.
And again, it depends on where you see the eclipse fully. So that's where the shadow of the eclipse falls, literally. And there's maps of this. You can go to NASA. Is where you're most affected. So it's not that we don't see it, right? And it is, like Friday, it's Cancer Capricorn. So it's that polarity, right? Home, family, you know, career. Women, you know, cancers, mothering, nurturing. You gotta nurture yourself right now.
Sorry, we're both looking at our cat, because
she's distracted by the cat. So yeah, I will talk about all the eclipses. Yes, it depends on whether they're total or not.
Okay.
It depends on where it's personally hitting you. Like an eclipse,
right? Of course.
Every 18 years, they repeat at the same degree. Right. So you want to look back at where you were
18 years ago.
Depends on how old you were, 18 or 36 or whatever. Repeating cycles. So they represent conclusions of cycles and then beginnings of new ones. And some of them go back. If this is an astronomical and an astrological thing, they repeat in these, they have numbers called Saros cycles, and NASA calls them by those numbers. So this is where astronomy and astrology still meet and still use the same terms. You can go back and look at, you know, this one started way back in, you know, 800 BC. And you can look at all the years and all the dates and into the future. So it's kind of fascinating, right? Okay. So now, Venus and Mars will go retrograde this year. So, you know, Venus is the planet of women, of love, of beauty, of harmony. Now, I know I saw you wince there. Sorry. Just like, you know, Mercury retrograde, disaster people. It's not a disaster.
No, right.
And disaster means without a star, actually. It just means it's the symbol for retrogrades, or capital R with a little X.
Right.
So that's the symbol for a pharmacy or a remedy. So really, they're medicine. It's good medicine. It's a rest period. So, you know, everything that starts with R-E.
Okay.
Retrograde, R-E. Rest, renew, review, relax. Relax. Just chill. You know, it's one very astute astrologer, I forget her name right now, had pointed out that Mercury moves retrograde the equivalent of one-third of the time every year.
Right.
We also need to sleep one-third of the time. So it's really just, you know... It's very masculine or very linear to just think everything's always moving ahead.
Right.
You know, it's like the myth of progress. No, it's very feminine to go into the, so I think of it as the feminine period. You're going in.
Okay. You know,
it's the wave, you know. So yeah, no disasters. Don't hit the panic button. But you also want to think about, you know, Venus and where Venus is hitting in your chart.
Right.
And, you know, because Venus is love and money. So Venus is retrograde. This is retrograde May the 13th to June 25th in Gemini. So that's actually, June is usually the time for people to get married. It's a no-fly zone. Do not get married. Consult your astrologer first.
Don't get engaged.
during that time. That's not good energy unless you're born with Venus retrograde. Now, I have to say, if you're born under a retrograde, and most people don't know this, but, you know, it's a very significant karmic thing. So it may be perfect for you. You know, you may reunite with past flames. That's a good one. You know, money might be a little bit of an issue, but it's in Gemini. So we're really dealing with that conversation. You know what I mean? Old love letters. You know what I mean? Whatever, you know, Venus and Gemini. So, you know, communications, publishing, marketing, you know, reviews. And then Mars goes retrograde. Where's Mars?
September.
In September. Where's my notes there? Mars retrograde. There it is. Okay. So September 9th and the 10th to November 13th, Mars is retrograde in Aries. Now, it also, you know, does make a difference, the sign that the planet is moving through. So Mars rules Aries. And when the planet is in the sign it rules, it's stronger. So that one is going to be a bit tougher.
Right.
I would say, you know, and Mars is action, energy, and like, it's like, you know, we're putting the brakes on there.
But that's the thing is that, you know, it's the action planet. So it's the thing that makes us want to move. So coming in the fall, when everybody thinks of, you know, new beginnings and school and just that energy. And now it's going to be, well, it's just hard because for women, Venus affects, and for men, Mars. But I mean, Mars affects everybody. Yeah. That energy affects everybody. And then Venus,
Because Venus rules money. We all use money.
Right.
So, you know, Venus is really great. Oh, the economy, you know, it's going to slow down.
Sometimes good for us because that's when everybody comes to us.
That's right. It is good for us. We want to know, hey, what the heck's going on there?
Yeah.
But, you know, Mars retrograde, because Mars is the warrior planet and he's passion, he's desire, he's drive, he's defenses. You know, in some ways it's good. Mars going retrograde in Aries, you know, you might want to take off your defenses, you know. Maybe it's like a little break. Again, it's break time. You know, we're going to slow down. We're going to review our actions. You know, it's like we're back to the drawing board, you know.
Right.
So, again, I try to, you know, really tell people don't, you know, you got to really understand this and you got to really understand how it's affecting you personally. Right.
Okay. Right.
No. Let's see what else we got here. So, okay. Okay, the other big thing, of course, is right at the end of this year.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to talk about that. December 21st, right on the, well, the winter solstice, Saturn, the planet of karma, and Jupiter, the planet of expansion, meet at 0 degrees at Aquarius. And this is what most astrologers are all very happy and optimistic about, because it signifies a new age, because Jupiter and Saturn meet every 20 years. The last time they met was in 2000, and that was kind of Y2K, and it was the beginning of the 21st century, so it was a big deal. They met in Taurus. So, you know, you always want to think back about, okay, the last 20 years has been Taurus kind of governed.
Right.
So it's like real estate and values and money and women, you know what I mean?
The
environment, you know? So now in Aquarius, because Aquarius is the human age, it's the age of high tech, innovation, freedom, revolution. It's the age of revolution we're going into. And so, yeah, these planets haven't met in air signs in like 800 years.
Yeah,
and they won't meet again. They're all going to be in air signs. So all the eclipses are going to be, you know, in air signs as well, basically, in the next while. So that's a big deal. And people are feeling very optimistic about that. So, of course, Jupiter enters Aquarius the day before that. So, again, if you're an Aquarian, you're 220, you know, 221, 222, while Saturn moves through Aquarius. And Saturn rules Aquarius, traditionally. A lot of younger astrologers are going back to do traditional astrology that's 2,000 years old, and they don't even use the outer planets, but they definitely use Saturn ruling Capricorn and Aquarius.
Hmm.
So for them, Saturn then matures, you know, or makes real or solid that Aquarian kind of idealism. Okay. So that's a good thing if you're in Aquarius. So the next few years. And then, of course, Pluto will enter Aquarius in 2024.
Oh, so that's a big one.
So, yeah, I mean,
because Pluto takes a long time. 29 years?
No, it's different. It depends on the constellations.
Right.
So, like, Pluto rules Scorpio, and it sped through Scorpio in about 12 years. It was in Sagittarius from 95 to 2008. So, really, it depends on the size of the constellation.
Okay.
We divide the signs into 30 degrees. But the constellations are much bigger than that.
Right.
So because Pluto moves so slow. Now, the other thing, I mean, we could talk about what's happening in the next 10 years, but let's just get through this year.
Okay.
And then, June 24th and 25th, all six planets will be retrograde.
Okay. Heck.
You want to mark that one down on your calendar.
Okay. Yeek. Right. That sounds scary.
Well, again, it's just like, whoa.
Maybe those are the days you want to relax. Yeah, those are the days you want to sleep.
Book your vacation then. That's not so bad, right? But especially June 24th and 25th. And then September 9th to the 13th, all six planets are retrograde plus Chiron. So that's actually seven. So, there's specific dates there on, again, August the 15th. Is a specific date in September 9th to the 12th because Mars then joins all that. So, yeah, those dates, you got to watch for those ones.
So not a good summer for weddings.
Not a good summer for weddings. Well, it's okay if you get married outside of those zones, you know?
Right.
Right. Okay. On February 16th to March the 9th, Mercury goes retrograde from Pisces to Aquarius.
Okay.
On February the 20th, July 27th, and October the 12th, Jupiter sextiles Neptune. So that's a very nice spiritual, if you want to plan a kind of spiritual retreat or a vision board or...
When is that, sorry?
Okay, February 20th.
Okay.
That's my daughter's birthday, by the way. July 27th and October the 12th, Jupiter, the planet of expansion, sextiles. The sextile is a nice, easy aspect, Neptune in Pisces. Mm-hmm. So that's a very nice concrete, you know, Jupiter's in Capricorn. Concretizing your dreams, you know, so that's a good time to get together with other people to envision things. Okay, the spring equinox is on the 19th and the 20th this year.
Okay,
on March 21st, Saturn enters Aquarius. So actually, we're going to get a little preview. Here,
that's right,
right on the spring equinox of what it's going to look like. We get to have that 2020 vision there, and on December 17th, Saturn enters Aquarius. Actually. Jupiter conjunct Pluto, April 4th, June the 30th, November the 12th. Those are like super enriching days for Capricorns, especially, but all earth signs are all cardinal signs. So Aries, Cancer, Libra, they also get the big push there. So you want to look at where those, are in your charts. There's going to be June the 5th and the 6th, Sagittarius, a lunar, again, a penumbral, not a full, eclipse, lunar eclipse, 15 degrees of Sagittarius. So again, you want to look at where is that in my chart? On June the 18th to July the 12th, Mercury is retrograde in Cancer. So again, that's a good time to stay home, maybe. Rearrange your furniture in your home. Rethink your diet. Cancer rules your stomach. That would be a good time to do that. Drink a lot of water. On June the 20th, it's the summer solstice when the sun enters Cancer. On June 21st, there's a Cancer annular solar eclipse. That means it happens annually, not quite full. So that's important. Okay. So the solstices this year both have eclipses.
Oh,
right. Or also that interesting. You know, Jupiter Saturn thing. So those are pivotal times. Anyway, June the 18th, July the 12th, Mercury retrograde Cancer. I mentioned that already. Okay. July the 4th and the 5th, there's a Capricorn lunar eclipse at 13 degrees conjunct Sirius. Now that, of course, Capricorn lunar eclipse, not total. But right on the U.S. sun. So there's going to be some big crap hitting the fan in the U.S. Now, I am predicting that there is going to be a civil war in the U.S. one way or the other. No matter who wins the election, the other party is not going to be happy. And so that's
I don't know where I read it, but somebody said because of the stuff that's going on, that even if he loses, he's not going to leave.
He's going to refuse to leave. The interesting thing is,
and that might cause the
who knows
civil unrest,
at this point. I don't know, but Trump is a 22-4 as well.
Okay.
He is a fool emperor.
Interesting.
That's his numerology.
Right. Interesting.
He's the perfect, he's a Gemini, right? He's the perfect embodiment of that. And also the nodes move from Cancer Capricorn into Sag Gemini.
Okay. Mm.
So that's
when does that happen?
Do I have that down? I don't. I'll have to look it up. Okay.
Okay.
Good question. Well, it should be on my notes here, but it's not. Thank you. July the 11th, Chiron turns retrograde in Aries until December the 15th. So Chiron, the wounded healer in Aries, this is a big new beginning because Chiron takes 50 years, 51 years.
Okay.
You know, it entered Aries last year and Aries is the sign of the warrior. So Chiron is where that warrior, or that masculine, is wounded. So it's really, I feel like, a healing of the toxic masculine energy.
Cool.
Okay, so I think that's a good thing. But, you know, it's like, you know, you have to take off your armor and look at your wounds. And really, the only way to heal them is by going right into them and not defending them. So when Chiron is retrograde, that's the best time to do that. Again, September 9th to 10th, Mars retrograde in Aries. September 22nd, the autumn equinox. October 13th to November the 3rd, Mercury's retrograde in, from Scorpio to Libra. I know it seems like a lot of Mercury retrogrades. There's always three every year.
Sometimes four.
Sometimes four. Yeah.
So we only have three.
We only have three, so thank you for that.
Except we have Venus and
all right. Mars. So November 29th, that's actually my birthday, and the 30th, there's a Gemini penumbral lunar eclipse at 8 degrees of Gemini. On December the 14th, that's the only total solar eclipse this year. Okay. It's in Sagittarius at 23 degrees, connected to the galactic center, which is the big black hole, the center of our galaxy, which I think is powerful because that's a huge galactic download thing. December 19th, Jupiter enters Aquarius. And again, December 21st, right on that solstice. Right on the solstice.
Actually. So do you think this is finally the age of Aquarius?
Well,
that's what they're saying, right?
Well, I think so because it's actually 8 years. And eight is a pivotal, you know, infinity number. And, you know, these things take time. You know, again, there's positive sides to the age of Aquarius. There's also a very dark side of Aquarius. That part kind of freaks me out because I've been having visions about that these days.
What's the dark side of Aquarius?
Well, everything has a positive and a negative.
Sure.
It's AI. It's robots taking over. It's G5.
We're not quite ready for that.
What's happening? Well, it's happening quite a lot. And it's going to happen even more. Like, you know, they killed that guy around with a drone. You know, they don't even need to have people, you know. I am very concerned about G5. It is very dangerous. And there is some blowback about it, but I don't think most people are aware of how dangerous it is. Mm. And the AI thing is also not good. And also people want to get wired.
Technology.
You know, Elon Musk. It's technology. That's really what Aquarius is. People want to get wired. And
I know.
Were talking about this, like, you know, you have this thing implanted in your brain. And so you're walking down the street and you it's almost maybe you just think about something and then these holograms appear of whatever you want. And it'd be incredibly dazzling. And also, you know, they're going to be able to program your dreams. And, you know, there's going to be all kinds of stuff. So it's just a little bit too scary kind of.
Good point.
Yeah, that kind of thing, right? So you have to watch it, okay? Because that's already here.
Right.
And it's strong. And there are people who want it, you know. Right. It is the age of the human. It is the age of the equal playing field. So, you know, that's all good. You know, that's all good. And we need the technology, especially with Uranus and Taurus, to heal the earth. You know, we know what's going on in Australia and all the poor animals that are dying and the people and, you know. And then animal rights, that's going to be a big thing. As Uranus turns direct animals, more animals will get rights.
Oh, yeah?
I think they've declared that in India already. They declared animals sentient beings with rights. And I think in Australia or New Zealand.
Wow.
So that's
going to
be a cool thing. So there is already a big movement to veganism and you know, plant-based. And especially this thing in Australia, people are going, you know, climate change or... I mean, they're in the middle of a big drought, you know, and all that stuff, right? So there's also planets moving out of bounds. Do you know about that?
No.
Out of bounds planets? Okay. Something that I got into recently, because of the tilt of the Earth, you know, 23 degrees plus change, the sun, you know, that's what Western astrology is really all about. It's called tropical astrology because it's about the sun moving against those tropics of Cancer or Capricorn on the Earth.
Okay.
So, you know, we just had the winter solstice.
Mm-hmm.
So the sun was on the Tropic of Capricorn.
Right.
Okay. The sun is now moving north.
Right.
So on the spring equinox, the sun will be over the equator.
Right.
Right. Okay.
Right.
That's the spring equinox.
Right, of course.
First day of summer, the sun moves to 23 plus degrees Cancer. And that begins summer.
Right.
So it's not about the signs
anymore
because of the precession of the equinoxes. So the constellations have moved. That's why astronomers hate astrologers, because everything's moved in 2,000 years. 2,000 years ago, on the first day of spring, you could look out the sky and go, the sun is right on 0 degrees of Aries constellation-wise. But because everything's always moving, those constellations have moved back. They've drifted back 23 degrees. So if you look out at the sky, you know, and even if you look at Earth and sky, they talk about the planets are in the constellations. It'll be back 23 degrees. So, you know, there is sidereal astrology, which actually looks at astrology in real time. You know, and Vedic astrology is based on that too. But anyway, so because of the tilt of the Earth, the sun will never move beyond those boundaries unless the Earth's axis tilts.
Right.
But you know, the magnetic pole is moving very fast.
Right.
Just like over Siberia now.
And they don't know why it's moving so fast. And I think some scientists are saying it's also contributing to this climate change.
I think it's all about the climate change. Yes. But I mean, I do think people need to be more cautious. And if we can change and we can, you know, be more conscious of everything, then that's great. But I don't think that we are the whole purpose or that we are the whole problem. Right. So that's interesting because that confirms that aspect. I mean, yes, I think we need to smarten up and make some changes. Absolutely. Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that because you have to be, you know, because everything's so politically charged these days. You know, if you're a climate, I'm not a climate denier. It's obvious, you know, that things are changing and there is pollution. Nobody uses the word pollution anymore. You know,
it's funny, huh?
Environmental degradation, no pollution. Yeah. We need to clean all that up. And it's the corporations that need to clean it up.
So of course
people
it is.
Should really be, that's Aquarius. Now, Aquarius is a sign of revolution. So the people waking up because it's higher consciousness and going, we're all in this together, but it's really the corporations that create the most pollution.
I mean, look at what they've been doing.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, if just somebody took responsibility for the cups and like just all the plastic and all the stuff. I mean, just take responsibility. Yeah, do something like about it.
After Coca-Cola.
Get your own stuff back. You know what I mean? Well, take your stuff back. I mean, there's I mean, for a long time,
recycle.
Tim's, which is our, Tim Hortons is our big, you know, for a long time they said they had recycle bins, but they never recycled anything. It's like, what? You guys, I mean, be more conscious. Like, do something with them. And, like, I don't get it. Like, we have so many. Anyway, the rules are just weird because it's like, will it take up, you know, a milk carton that is like almost all wax, but we won't take a coffee cup?
Right.
Well,
a wax coffee cup.
Right? Like, we can eat. But, know, yeah. Well, there's that edible. Too. I mean, I like doing my, I like getting the, you know, the mugs and taking them in and stuff. Like, that's important, but it's just weird things. Like, it's like, take responsibility. It's like, it's so simple. Like, just some responsibility.
Well, people have to, you see, they always make it like it's the people's fault.
Right, of course.
And people need to collectively, that's a crazy, get together and go, it's everybody's fault. And really, it's the big corporations, like, or diapers, for example. Like, that's huge. Up until, you know, at one point there was no plastic diapers and you had to wash them yourself, you know, or make them less toxic. There's also all the toxins in the plastic, like this in the plastic and there's the toxins.
Right.
You know, so that's a huge issue.
Yep.
Anyway, yes, the North Pole moving. There's also something called the solar minimum. Now, I have read different things about this.
Okay.
There are hardly any sunspots coming out these days.
Is that right?
Yeah. And the sun goes through natural cycles, you know. Right. And so, but I did read, apparently, the solar minimum is next year, is in 2021. And as the sun cools down, it affects the planet.
Sure.
So some people are saying it's actually getting colder.
Yeah.
And not warmer.
I've heard
that news is not being, you know, brought out there. So it depends on which news station you listen to.
Yeah. But that's what David Watson has been saying from the Willows, is that we're going to be into a mini ice age.
Mini ice age. Okay, good. So I'm glad.
There are people out there, right?
Yes, there are people out there. Yeah, I have a friend who's been telling me this for years. Better stock up. You better make sure you're prepared. There will be food shortages. That's something else.
Well, the problem is the cities, right? I mean, Canada's huge. We don't have to really worry in that we could, I mean, other than the cold.
It's cold, yes.
Other than the cold.
I remember at the beginning of the year, they said it's going to be a really cold winter, and now they said it's going to be warm.
Are they saying that now?
No, they're saying
that's
it's going to be
crazy.
Actually, I think over the next week, it's going to be milder here than Vancouver.
Wow.
I mean, I don't mind it.
No,
like this,
I don't either.
But you do need some snow because it's the ground, right? But.
Well, we get either rain or snow, right? We get one or the other.
Yeah.
Really.
But you can have dry seasons.
But you can have dry seasons.
Huge heat waves in Europe. And then actually it snowed in all kinds of weird places.
Yeah.
It snowed in Rome last year. It snowed in somewhere in Saudi Arabia. So the weather patterns are crazy.
Are weird. And,
you know, there was prophecies about this since way back when, about not climate change, earth changes.
Right. Oh, yeah. Okay, I mean, that was the big thing.
Yeah, earth changes.
Don't live in California because it's going to be gone.
Yeah, the big one.
Yeah.
A lot of people are saying that's going to happen.
That's really going to happen, they think, huh?
Well, they just had one in Puerto Rico. I don't remember. Well, Puerto Rico's in the Caribbean, but there has been a lot of tremors in Vancouver, and it's called the Cascadia Fault.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that goes, it could go. I mean, half a
I mean, that's also all the planets
in Capricorn, Saturn and Pluto, that's shaken up the Earth. Yeah. So, you know, I haven't had people talk about it too much, but I think there can be some major earthquakes this year.
Right.
You know, in all the places that they usually get them, you know. So, right. Yeah.
Well, I remember the little one we had here, which felt so weird because I was...
Just a little shake.
Right? And then what it did to the lake was ridiculous because it made it so cold.
Oh,
it brought up all the deep, cold water. Couldn't swim. It was very depressing. Huh. Actually, that happened this year, but not from earthquake, but the water was terribly cold this year.
Huh,
until the very end of the year. I went swimming like twice.
Well, it was cold. Wasn't it cold?
But not. Oh, it shouldn't have affected the water quite as much as it did, but somehow something happened that brought up cold water.
Okay. Well, they had a lot of rain.
The lake was really high.
So a lot of places, it's another thing with flooding and, you know.
That's the problem, right?
That's a big problem, too. It's either too hot or too much rain or, you know, whatever. But, you know, we have no control over that.
No.
I mean, they can, to some degree, see the weather. I mean, nobody talks about HAARP anymore since we're on all these alternative topics already. Nobody talks about that anymore. Why?
Interesting.
So anyway, back to these out-of-bounds planets. So the planets... So the sun is bound up in those boundaries as long as, again, the Earth's axis is that 23 plus degrees. But the planets, including the moon, can move beyond those boundaries. And some people are born during these times. Now, they don't happen all the time. That's what's interesting. So when these planets are out of bounds, that's other like a, I'm free, you know what I mean? Hmm. So that does affect people, too. Now, Venus is out of bounds April the 1st. That's April Fool's Day. We're back to that April Fool.
Interesting.
Interestingly enough, I love the synchronicity to June the 1st. And then Mars is also out of bounds February the 9th till March the 2nd. Mercury is out of bounds May the 15th until June the 8th and December the 12th to January the 4th. Sorry, there was something else you asked me. What was it now?
When the nodes
change sign. Right. Okay.
I'm going to have to look this up. Also, visually, if you want to see, there's all the planets. Oh, we can't see it moving retrograde there. I don't know if you can see that.
Wow.
It's like, oh, yeah. Okay, there's that no-fly zone. And the marriages, I'm sure, you know, traditionally people do consult astrologers. Okay, so it looks like it's May the 5th. May the 5th, they change.
And then
the North Node
goes backwards.
They move backwards.
Right.
Yes.
It's the only one that goes backwards.
Well, like the ages move backwards.
Oh, right.
So, you know, again, we're talking about the age
Pisces.
Of Aquarius. You know, we're moving from Pisces to Aquarius. Now, there's all kinds of different, you know, when does an age start? Nobody really knows, you know?
Yeah. And they've been talking about it since the 60s, so.
Yeah, it's very ancient. You know, like the precession of the equinoxes. So, you know, but all of the planets starting to align in Aquarius is very significant, I would say. You know,
right,
Pluto,
right,
you know, all
right,
of that stuff.
Right.
But technically, if you base it on 2000, then it takes 2,160 years for the sun to move through those degrees. So some people are going, just chill.
Yeah, well, we've got a long way before some of the things that you're worried about are going to.
Well, yeah, that's the other thing, you know. And Capricorn is slow. It's slow, patient, you know. It doesn't all happen right on the instant, you know.
Right.
So the other thing is, as the nodes move with the North Node in Gemini then, and the South Node in Sagittarius, then the focus, because the North Node is our highest spiritual goal.
Okay.
So then it's going to be Gemini. Now, the interesting thing to me is in the tarot, Gemini is the symbol associated with the lovers.
Okay, yep.
And so because I had studied astrology before I studied the tarot, I remember that was one thing. It was like, what? How could they associate the lovers with Gemini? That's like, what? That made no sense to me. And I kept racking my brains about it. And then I realized, oh, it's about the duality.
Right.
About polarity, which is another hot topic these days.
I bet.
Because people want everything to be one, but you need the polarity. Polarity is like magnets. It's like, these are forces. It's like
within
nature,
the world.
Day, night, yin, yang, whatever you want to call them, you want to change it. But these are forces. You have to have that polarity or else nothing happens.
Right.
Right?
Right. Well, yes.
So.
Yes.
So polarities. But, you know, we're so polarized these days, you can barely say anything without somebody reacting, you know, and like wanting to punch you out or something. So, but, you know, the lovers. So it's interesting about understanding that we need each other or that we're complementary. I said this word the other day. I went, complimentary. Nobody uses that word anymore. What happened to that word? You know what I mean? Like, or giving people compliments, or I compliment you, or we have our colors here, complimentary. You know, or, you know, I went, oh, that's kind of nice. I like that thing about it as being complimentary. Like, we do compliment each other. You
right.
know, the masculine, the feminine.
Right.
Everybody has it inside of themselves, right? So Gemini, it's about communications, talking, thinking, analysis. So it's going to be kind of heady. That's the only thing, air. Going, everything going into air signs, it's like you're in your head.
Right.
So it's like big, cool, kind of detached. You know, which can be, I mean, it's all can be good. You just kind of look at it from a distance, right? But you don't want to get detached from your heart.
Right.
You know. So, and then the South Node in Sagittarius. Sagittarius represents history and
knowledge.
Foreigners, travels, philosophy, honesty, humor, philosophy, I said that, teaching, you know, all kinds of things. So it's going to be interesting. So leaving behind maybe a history or a philosophy or a big change in that or kind of retreating, maybe a country.
You're Sag, yeah.
I'm a Sag, yes. Yeah. Right. So, yeah. Gonna have to mull that one over a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sagittarius rules publishing.
And the South Node is all about?
The past.
Okay.
So it's what we're leaving behind. You know, okay. I mean, it's not that we totally reject it.
Yeah.
You need it. And it could be, you know, everything works in polarities. This is what people forget. I mean, for example, like on a lunar eclipse, you know, the lunar eclipse is in Cancer. You know, the sun is in Capricorn, the moon is in Cancer. It's a full moon. It's a super full wolf blood moon.
Okay. You know? Oh, it's a biggie but then.
It's got everything, you know. Oh, we got everything. So, you know, it's always about that dichotomy, that duality. And
right.
Dance, you know.
Right.
So Gemini, Sag, you know, they complement each other.
Sure.
Right? I'm going to call everything complimentary these days.
There you go.
It means you used to get things for free, complimentary.
Yes, you know? That's true.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it's exciting. I mean, you know, it's like we're heading into the hardest part of it right now. I think people have been feeling really tired.
That's you know, what
really
I've been
tired.
Feeling.
Tired. It's like, I don't really want. And also, I think I've been feeling so much in touch with my body. And, you know, when you live in the Northern Hemisphere, it's clearly not a new year. So this artificial, you know, beginning of the year in January
right.
1st doesn't make any sense to me anymore.
Right.
It's like, ah.
That's a good point.
I don't really feel like I have to do my New Year's right now because it doesn't feel like the New Year to me. I know it is on the calendar, but that feels really artificial to me. You
That's
know?
True.
So
it's true.
Really it's March, you know, the 21st tradition.
Oh, right.
Yeah. It's the spring equinox.
That makes sense.
People used to live by the seasons and, you know, it would make sense for us to live more in harmony by changing those calendars, right?
Right.
Also, I'm also predicting that people are going to change their last names. People are going to self-identify themselves and change their last names to whatever they want.
Have a question for Lori and want to be on the next News from the Heart show? Drop us a line via instant feedback at bmajor.org. News from the Heart is brought to you by Intuitive Soul and is produced by Major Radio for Clear Channel's iHeartRadio and bmajor.org.